You're listening to Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional sports team in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I am Tom Benson, here with Becky Morgan and Caitlin Whiteside. Racing fans, stop me if you have heard this one before. Racing coming off a draw, this one from the nil-nil variety against the San Diego Wave. Caitlin, how big is the perp?
Tom, this week I am delighted to report that the perp has gotten ever so slightly bigger. We've moved from medium perp to medium-large perp, so a large, if you will, large perp.
That's good. It was getting stuck. I was afraid we were going to have to like bang on it, make sure that it was not frozen.
That's the thing. I think maybe they did. We did bang on it a little bit and it moved just a tiny bit. You know, we got some of that dust out of the cartridge and then just moved it. So yeah, large is the perpometer reading for the week.
Yeah, it's good. Last time on the podcast, I was happy to listen to it, but Becky and Caitlin, the two of you knocked the hypothetical or knocked the figurative car's gas tank on the perpometer and found out that, oh, wait, we did have a little more gas than we thought. It went up a little bit and it showed against San Diego Wave, who we'll talk about here shortly. But let's get started with the starting line. Becky. Some news, nothing that should be too much of a surprise for racing fans, but what is going on with the roster right now?
Well, right now we do know for a fact what happened with Ellie Pikiamsa and her leg injury. She did have a torn patellar tendon, just like Mal Swanson. When she went down, we were like, oh, that looks like Mal's injury. And it was, unfortunately, just like Mel's injury. So she has undergone surgery. She seems in great spirits because we all love LEP and she is a bright light. But she's out for the season, unfortunately. So I have to believe that Racing is going to be looking for another defender to fill our suddenly pretty thin back line. And we also learned that Kirsten Wright had a knee scope. So she has had her knee cleaned out. It's not a major surgery by any means. And although she is technically, we learned this yesterday, Caitlin, although she is technically on the 45-day disabled list, she is only going to be out from the time the team can say she's out. So if she has been out from the beginning of the season, even though she had surgery recently, the 45-day clock can have started clicking.
Kind of like time
on the first
served
day of the season. Yeah, like time served already. Yeah. So she could be back sooner than 45 days from last Wednesday. So there's a good chance we'll see her sooner rather than later. So that's good news. And it's not, again, a serious injury. It's more just kind of like an upkeep. I've also had this surgery. I've had both surgeries that both these injuries have had. They're not fun. But the Kirsten Wright one's a lot better. So she'll be back and she'll be looking good pretty soon, I'm sure. And then the good news is that pretty much everybody else is off the injury list. Almost. Ari's back. And we'll talk about that a little more. Sav's back. We'll talk about that a little more. And if I'm not mistaken, Yuka was also off being out.
Is that right? I couldn't remember. Or I thought it
was
said
she the only person that was out.
I think she was still on the list.
But it said,
oh,
knee,
yes, she was out with her knee. And now, yeah, so it's still Yuka. And then it's the two surgeries. So still, that's a lot better than where we were with the six people before Portland. So we are improving significantly.
Kirsten Wright's going to be an interesting one because the medical staff is going to have to work very hard to make sure that she is 100% ready to go. The front line has never had more depth. The front line this year has thus far been more productive than any in history. And I can see Kirsten pushing herself back just because she's a competitor, worried about losing her spot. And that can be an iffy situation if an athlete pushes herself before she's totally ready to come back.
Well, they have a physical therapist on staff now on site, part-time, but there when the players are there, and that will make a huge difference in the rehabilitation of injured players. And that's part of the new U of L contract that Racing and Soccer Holdings have signed. So very interested to see how that pans out, because I do think that that is going to be a significantly substantial change to the degree of rehabilitative care that the players are going to be getting.
Now, it sounds like the care is going to be improved, which is fantastic. You also wonder that it comes down to at some point when the player says, I'm ready to go. Because, like I said, this was going to be a big year for Kirsten's career regardless. And now the front line, you know, we'll talk about it later, just keeps getting deeper and deeper. You can never have too much depth, but I can see her pushing herself as hard as she can go to get back on that field. But great news that the starting line player reports is diminishing. It's getting smaller. Moving on to the commercial break. As you know, we are sponsored by the Lavender Legion. All three of us are members of the Legion. We love the Legion. Caitlin, there are lots of things that the Lavender Legion does. One of the cool things is making banners, which you took part in this last week.
Yeah, on Tuesday of this last week, we had a banner making session, and our GM, Ryan Dell, showed up, brought us beers of the alcoholic and non-alcoholic kind, and just hung out with us for the duration of the session. And that was very nice of him to take time out of his day to do that and chat with us and kind of get to know us a little bit better. And yeah, if you come to these things and, you know, Ryan's there, Ryan likes to chat. So you might find out some inside, some hot goss, you know, before everybody else. And yeah, it's just a good time to meet people, meet the GM. It's a good time. So I'm not sure if we have another one scheduled just yet. I know we have like three or four more banners for players to make. So I have a feeling that we will have one probably within the next couple of months. And so, yeah, be on the lookout for information about that. And definitely try to make it to one of those sessions if you have not yet.
So Ryan likes beer. Ryan likes to chat. Does Ryan like to paint?
I can report that Ryan did not paint with us.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, he did provide us with beverages. So I won't hold that against him too much.
Of course. And he couldn't paint one player's banner and not the others.
Right.
So yeah, we understand.
No, I mean, I believe it's actually state law in Kentucky that if you show up with a case of beer, you are prohibited from doing work. I mean, that's why I show up with a case of beer at my work all the time. So wait, are you saying, you know, hashtag politics? It's so those banners look fantastic. They add so much to the atmosphere in the stadium, and really every single Legion activity. Show up, we're all friends, and we would love for you to show up. And if you have recently joined the Legion, please feel free to just drop a comment, and the more the merrier in the Slack. We love chatting with everyone. This last weekend there was a WrestleMania chat, which was really enjoyable. Brandon Condra called the ending to like three different matches, so, you know, kind of a spoiler alert, but also very impressive. Legion is doing great and starting off fantastic with the year now.
And another fun thing we do is host the Fantasy Mini League with the Lavender Legion. And just to give a quick update of the results, shout out to 27 Corner Kicks, who has usurped Sec 125 as the number one team this week. By the time you hear this, the week four results will be out. When we're recording, it's still only week three. That's good, because we weren't able to report them last time. So shout out 27 Corner Kicks, Dan Juniper FC, and Horse Girl FC, our
That's
new
my favorite
top
name.
Three.
Horse Girl FC is just hilarious. Like that is just fantastic.
Shout out to Kylie.
Shout out to Kylie. Also, 27 corner kicks was very clearly not named after they didn't get inspiration for that name from this game against San Diego.
Well, that is a great way to start a segue into this one fantastic work. Caitlin, racing at home against San Diego Wave. The Wave showed up with their full complement of national team players. They played them. Racing fought them to a hard nil-nil draw. Caitlin, what were your thoughts of that game?
Tom, I was thinking after this game about what San Diego is to racing. And the best analogy I could come up with is aside from that very first game we ever played against San Diego and where they won 1-0, San Diego is just like this wall that racing keeps trying to throw spaghetti at and nothing will stick to it. Okay. It is always a battle with San Diego. On both parts, right? I was looking at the stats. We've had 0-0 draws with them the last 3 seasons. It's like what is going on when both of these teams meet that the results are just not there. So I think overall, I wasn't upset by this performance. They really turned it on in the second half. That first half, a snoozer. We don't even have to talk about it if you don't want to. Nothing really happened. It was just very, I feel like that whole first half was really kind of contained in the midfield and was just boring. It was boring soccer on both sides of the ball. But then the second half, much better, much more entertaining. Yeah, overall, I really wish they could have gotten the result, but this performance, I mean, the effort was there. I can't really be too upset about it. Becky, what was your takeaway from the match?
San Diego was clearly missing Naomi Girma. So we were given a bit of a reprieve there because she is so incredibly strong there. The fact that we still couldn't score without Naomi Girma bothers me a little bit. But at the same time, the fact that they did come back and have a better second half after having a fairly lackluster first half is what keeps this game from being a disappointment for me. They really did come back at the half and adjust and play harder and work harder and get much better results. I mean, they went from having an XG of 0.07, 0.07 in the first half to having an XG of 1.11 in the second half. So, I mean, that's a night and day difference. They had two shots, none on frame in the first half, and then they had 10 shots with four on frame in the second half. So that's just a vastly better effort. I never felt like they lost the tempo of the game. They didn't lose the thread of it. They got more possession in the second half, even though they still could not pull 50% possession for either half, which bothers me for a team that says they want to be possession oriented. I sound down on them. This was a fine game. Like this game was fine. This was a good game. It's just that, we've had four draws. They really need to start pulling in more
Which
points.
Becky, that's a record, right? We set a record.
Well, for the beginning of a season, we've tied the record for having four straight draws before, but for the
Great.
beginning of the season, we've broken the record of starting a season with four straight draws.
Great.
And so, I mean, getting a draw against San Diego is a good result. It's just, we need to start getting these extra points at some point. And, Kalen Sheridan is a heck of a goalkeeper, was able to stop that Ari Borges header that, against many other keepers would have been a guaranteed goal. Taylor Flint did find the back of the net, but Kayla Fisher was offsides and interfered with the keeper a little bit, so that got pulled back. So, I mean, the fact that we did actually find the back of the net, the fact a set piece did work for us, I feel okay about a lot of things. I do feel like there is progress made, but again, still feel like we're treading water a little bit.
So I will get to my thoughts on the game in a second, but since you just mentioned Kayla Fisher, on that goal, and Caitlin, when that happened, you shut your eyes, looked downward, and shook your head mournfully. And I think for the first time this season, like, Kayla Fisher, you can't be doing that. Oh my gosh, that was like, you're not a rookie anymore. That was,
yeah.
I don't know what she was thinking there, but it was not good.
Yeah. Big fish gonna big fish. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's I love the energy that Kayla Fisher brings. I just wish she could harness it in a better way sometime, a more effective way at times.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just hit y'all with a phrase, and you can tell me what you think. But that was just like the Kayla Fisher experience. You have like great moments and you're like, wow, this is a dominant player. She's fantastic. And then you have some moments where it's like, were you paying attention there, Big Fish? That was,
it's all over enthusiasm. I mean, I think she's just so excited that she gets over stuck in and tackles. She gets ahead of herself and then ahead of the line in set pieces and stuff like that. So, I mean, I really think it is just jumpiness from excitement, which, I mean, you want a player that's that bought in and a player that's that tuned in. I mean, I don't think she's like not paying attention or lazy or sloppy. I think she's just like raring to go.
Yeah.
And just
no, that's
needs
an
to
excellent point.
Needs to form that a little more. You know, I think she's just a little needs to be molded in a little bit.
No,
a
that's
little
an
bit
excellent
more.
Point. Well, I had texted the both of you earlier this week about my thoughts on the game. And I sent a text and then neither of you replied. So I was like, well, I've either offended someone or I sent it to the wrong number. Because what I said was that I thought Racing was going to get beat handily in this game.
I didn't think so.
I thought that when we talk about Bev Yanez, and we said from the beginning, I think she's going to be a fantastic coach. She's a fantastic coach. I think the sky is the limit on her career. I also think that occasionally when you're a rookie head coach, you get out coached and it's a learning opportunity. I anticipated that this match would be one where Casey Stoney had 2 weeks to prepare for Racing's offense. She had the experience on the roster, and I thought it was going to be 2-0, 3-0 to San Diego Wave. I did.
Why? To Caitlin's point before, San Diego has only ever beaten us once.
And it was by 2-0. And I mean, that was the end of the season. Like, that we usually have very close matchups.
Yeah,
with San
I mean,
Diego.
We've had 3-0-0 matchups against them and one win. So I we play really well against them. So I did not think that we were going to be beaten handily.
But also, Tom, I'm so glad you were wrong, because like you said, Bev did not get outcoached.
No, and this is one where we have gone the other way in this podcast a few times where we've said a draw feels like a loss. This is one that for me, a draw feels like a win, because there was notable progress, I thought, from the way the team played.
The straw just feels like a draw to me. I can't feel like this is a win yet. There's not an, I mean, until there's results, there's not going to be progress to me. It's a win if you come from behind and edge something out, and like, there just was not enough progress yet. I mean,
it kind of just feels like another game against San Diego.
The straw was a draw to me. Yeah. I mean,
I thought they played great. I thought that they played really well. I thought the second half, I missed the last podcast because I was on vacation. You guys did a great job talking about the Portland game, which seemed as though it was horrible. I got like super horrible island food sickness. And I wondered to myself, who had it worse? Me feeling like I was going to die for 24 hours, or you having to watch the second half of that Portland game. So it kind of evens out on some level. But as I was walking out of the SDF, the Louisville airport, on the lower level, there is a picture of Racing's team, and it's from their first year. And I was struck by the fact that there is not anybody that was in that picture that is still on the team. I think it was a goal In the picture was Jorian Balcombe, Savannah McCaskill, Kaylee Reel. Who was the woman that hit that first goal against Orlando, the equalizer?
Brooke Hendricks.
Brooke Hendricks.
Brooke Hendricks, yeah. And I thought to myself just how much these teams change from year to year. And this club is different. This team is different than the ones that have been the first 3 years. And what have we said this season? Not, all same old Racing, but this season we said their second half, they've been getting boat raced. They've been completely disorganized. They couldn't hold the ball for a good possession. They didn't control the midfield. They weren't under control. And in this game, all of those things that we have said that have been a concern for us, Racing did better. They didn't get a goal. You know what? It happens. Sometimes you can play well and not get a goal. That's sports, that's soccer. But I felt really good coming off of that game in the second half, because I thought that, they possessed the ball well. I thought the midfield played well. And at no point did I think that this team, San Diego Wave, with all of their national team players, did I feel threatened by him? Now, I missed the first 20 minutes of the game, so maybe they had awesome chances, but
They didn't.
I
They
mean,
didn't. No, it was a very tepid game all the way around in the first half. I mean, I agree with all of that, and I don't think it was a bad game. It's just that like the fr is bad. Like one reason Portland was such a frustrating bad game is because the first half of that game was so good. They played so well in the first half against Portland, and then played so badly in the second half. In this game, they played okay in the first half against San Diego and played better in the first half against in the second half against San Diego. And that's an improvement, and that's good. And I definitely feel like this is one of the first times all season that by the end of the match, I never felt like there was any point that they had like lost control of the tempo or lost control of the game, or that like, oh my goodness, like maybe there was like one moment where I was like, oh no, oh my God, they almost lost it right there. Like they really held on to that game, and if not outright controlled it, like balanced the control pretty well. But like teams, I don't want to say that we are being outcoached, because I don't think we are at all, especially because like one of the last things said at the end of last season from players from Abby Ersig and Jalen Howell after losing to San Diego was, we lost that chess match. Our tactics were not good enough, and we lost because of that, specifically against San Diego. So that is, you're right, very good for Bev to come in
Yeah,
and go against
absolutely.
a team that they called out and to play well against them. But what San Diego did do very, very well was really isolate our attack. And you know, I think that I'm getting a little concerned that our attackers were doing so well initially because they were new and kind of novel and people weren't really expecting them. They completely isolated Raelynn in this match. If you look at the passing matrix, she is disconnected from everybody. She is floating out in space. Alexa Barr is almost completely floating out in space and disconnected from everybody. Uche's connecting with Jalen and connecting with Carson. They have a good relationship, but it seems like Lauren Millay is not having as good a connection with Alexa Barr and is not having as good a connection with Raelynn. At least they're just not like reading each other and passing the ball to each other as well. Not to say that like Alexa and Raelynn didn't have great moments. Alexa also had some phenomenal moments where she was able to get the ball in transition and on the counter do some great things. But teams are figuring out how to shut down our attack. So I want to see us be a little more creative and do things a little differently, because I think one of the things that made us better in the second half was honestly bringing in Emma Sears and bringing in Ari Borges. They are what changed the game for us. You know, Ari came in like she had not left, like she had not been injured, and changed things. And then Emma, I think, just continues to shock people with her speed and her aggression. And, you know, if she can again just not shoot directly at the keeper, she's gonna get a banger
Yeah.
real soon.
I agree with you there. Also, her first touch, she gets a little overeager with it, and it kind of gets away from her for a little bit.
She's
But
used to having that space in
right.
college. She's not used to having the professional defenders on her. Yep.
Yeah. And I will say since Raylan was so isolated like that, I, also overall, I just think this game was the first game where she looked like a rookie. Not in a bad way, but just like a
And they
normal.
focused on her.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, you know, it was hard to tell, like, was it because she wasn't getting service? Is it because we couldn't provide the service to her, or she
It
was
was
just,
both. I mean, they were pressing her hard. They were pressing her really hard. And I mean, it was a combination of both. And I mean, I think she did fine. She made some really critical tackles actually to keep them from breaking away and, you know, had some really good moments. I don't want to seem like I'm calling anybody out and saying they're doing a bad job. I just think more that, like, at least San Diego was able to read our attack fairly well. We weren't outcoached by any means because we still, even with that, had more chances than them. We had more shots than them. We had more shots on goal. So that's really, really, really good. But I do wonder what adjustments we need to make next time to keep this from happening. Because I do think that maybe we're starting to see that maybe we need to start shifting things and try something a little new.
Yeah, I thought that Bev coached a great game, and I hate that you brought it up, but yeah, I kind of had PTSD about the last game against San Diego, where, like, yes, I think it was a draw, but that was, God, they played horrible. I mean, you had a defense
No,
where,
the last game against San Diego was our loss in the
oh,
decision
that's right.
day.
Yeah, where Katie was getting the ball and, like, having to kick it away on just a regular goal kick because we had no way to break out their defense. So I think that saying that Raylan, first of all, it's a lot of respect that San Diego gave her to isolate her. I mean, talent knows
Yeah, to
talent.
focus on her that much, yeah.
So that's going to be something that she's going to get better for it. One thing that I thought was another positive from this game was the midfield. And we've talked about from the very beginning, these players need reps. They need minutes together. And I noticed, and maybe it happened in Portland, I didn't see that game, but a small thing I noticed was that the back line was playing the ball in front of Taylor Flint. The first couple of games, she would have, her back to the opposing goal and have to make a turn when she got the ball, and that is not her game. They started playing it in front of her, and she was much better distributing. The midfield played great. I mean, they played fantastic. All of the threats from San Diego came with Jakobsen going against Millay, which, talk about putting in a tough shift. Millay did. Jakobsen's fantastic. San Diego did not have a lot of joy down the middle of the field. And I think it's because you're starting to see Jay and Taylor Flint and Sav get back, start to get some cohesion together. Now, Caitlin, I don't know, what did you think of Sav's game?
Sav looked a little tentative on the ball, but I was talking to Becky about this after the game, and she reminded me she is coming back from injury, so she probably is going to be a little tentative as she feels her way back into the game. But to me, I mean, there were times where Sav would take the ball, and usually she's very good at playing direct and dribbling, and she would take it and dribble it, and then second guess and like stop and switch directions. And maybe that's part of trying to be more possession based as well, just kind of looking at other options. But to me, it came off as a little bit hesitant.
Yeah, I agree. I think she started a little tentative, a little hesitant, and played herself into the game more as it went on. We also have to remember that, like, Jaylen missed the first game of the season. Sav missed the next two. So was this their first game playing together this whole season?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then also, Taylor has barely played with Sav at all and has not played with both Sav and Jay. So, I mean, yeah, that's gonna kind of make things a little fluky and a little different. But I do wonder also, I mean, Sav gets fouled a lot. And one criticism the team has gotten is that they need to protect her more and teach her how to protect herself more because she is going to get seriously injured if she keeps dribbling and throwing her body into defenders. So I wonder if they are also talking to her about trying to not avoid that, but like find better ways to do that. And that's also making her a little tentative as an adjustment because, I mean, I love how aggressive she is, but she can't like be, completely laid out every single match and bruised and thrown on the ground and have the wind knocked out of her. I mean, she's going to have another major injury if she keeps doing that. So if some of this tentativeness is trying to avoid a little bit of that and figure out maybe different ways of approaching things, I'm not going to be completely against it. But I do want to jump back to Taylor Flint really quickly, who has been our one consistent midfielder, because Racing announced this week that she is first in the league in duels won and in interceptions. She's second in the league in tackles. She's third in the league in aerial duels. That was going into Saturday, or that was going into this game, so it's possible that could have changed slightly. And then Opta announced after the most recent game that she won 12 duels on Saturday, which makes it her 24th match with over 10 duels won, which is more than any other player since she joined the NWSL in 2021. So she's really quietly or not so quietly being extremely effective in doing exactly what we wanted her to do next to Jaylen in the midfield and making it extremely hard for teams to break through the middle of the field. She's winning possession, she's intercepting the ball. The problem is what Racing does with the possession after, it's won back. But I think once we get that clicking, once we get this midfield and, the players returning or the players set who are going to be there more, or at least practicing with the team enough that the chemistry is built, that we're going to see things get better and better and better. We've had a lot of injuries. We've had, Erin Wright getting thrown in there too. And she seemed like, did you even notice that there was a
No,
change
she
on the
did
back
great.
line? She did a phenomenal job. So there's some shifting things. As critical as I may sound about the team, I mean, I acknowledge that there's movement, there's shifting, and that affects the front line, that affects how the ball moves down the field. And they need to get used to some of these adjustments, but I've been really impressed with Taylor Flint, and she's really grown into the team in an incredible way.
Bev keeps saying. Keeps using the phrase the process, the process, the process, which is kind of coach speak, but all great coaches talk about it. So you think that there's probably something to that. I think that the process is going to lead to 3 points. I mean, we've seen improvement and from game to game, we've seen drop-offs, and I think they're playing well. I thought it was interesting when I was walking out of the stadium against this one. That was not a happy crowd. It was not a, oh, we got to see Alex Morgan. It was a crowd that thought that the refs did them in, thought that Racing got screwed over, and was, I mean, from my standpoint, I'm not happy when people leave Racing games grumpy, but I mean, I think it speaks that this city is just ready to, and this fan base is ready to blow up around Racing.
It was the right kind of grumpy, though. I mean, they weren't like Racing did a bad job. It was like, oh, those refs, we should have got that one, like we were done wrong, not like we did wrong. And so I'm fine with that. I think that, like, initially I was worried that the game was tepid in the beginning, but it got fun and the crowd was really into it by the end, booing and getting in on their feet and screaming. And yeah, of course, you want them on their feet and screaming for more positive reasons, not cursing at the ref. But I mean, it was good to have in a nil-nil draw that big crowd that engaged. So yeah, I mean, people weren't like pumped and thrilled with it. And I mean, I'm obviously not like pumped and thrilled with it, but I still don't think that this was like a draw that is like a detrimental draw. I don't
No.
think people are gonna like anybody. I don't think anybody who went to that game was like, well, that was a lousy team and I regret buying that ticket. I think they were like, oh, they're close. And that's not a bad place to be. The thing is, though, I mean, and I don't want to be too harsh because it is a process, but like you can only be in the process for so long. Like there's a point when you need to start learning and start doing. And I hope that we get to that point very soon. Even if we make mistakes, even if we drop points and lose games, it can just be so comfortable playing well enough to get a draw and saying, well, we got a point. We didn't lose. We're still undefeated. And I just worry that we are going to be a little too comfortable where we are. Talking to the players at the end of the match, I'm happy to hear that, like, Jalen does not seem complacent at all, and
oh,
she's
I don't
not
think
that
any of
kind of
them are.
person. I don't think any of them are, but I do think that, like, it's a lot easier to fire yourself up, I think, after a bad game than it is a game where you did just enough. And that worries me a little bit. Because, you know, we got stuck in the 11-game not losing streak, but not winning streak. Or I guess we lost a couple, but we got stuck in the 11-game winless streak last year. And I just don't want to see a repeat of that.
It's a different team. You know, you hope that it's a different team. We're all the same, and we carry the scars from these past teams. But it just seems to me that I think there's too much pressure on Bev and Ryan to worry that they're going to get complacent. I think that my best guess is that, you know, and I will use a roundabout analogy because I know how much you all enjoy those. Since I'm in insurance, a lot of times I get asked, hey, Tom, what's the best way to handle an insurance claim? And I always say, you know, how can I get the most money? And I want everybody to get the most money out of their insurance claims. But I say that your insurance adjuster has 100 people on their desk, and she just wants to pay 95 of them. And five folks are people that she's investigating and being like, they're trying to defraud me. And you don't want to be one of those five people. Now, the time may come to yell at your adjuster, but don't yell at them the first day, because then you automatically become one of those five people. And then they stop listening to you because they get yelled at all the time. So I say all that to say, I think that Beth has it in her to yell and fire up this team without question. I think that she knows that four games into this season is not the time. Now, if we are in June, and this continues, I think that they are closing practices because she is lighting these players up. But once you start yelling, like, it changes the tone, and you can only yell so much. And I don't know that she's a yeller. So I say all that to say that I am not worried that this team is going to get complacent with draws yet. I think on some level, and Tom looks around, says this low, I think Bev, who knows what a championship team looks like, knows that this club has a lot of improvement to make to get there. And she's making sure while she is getting them to that level that they are not losing confidence in the midterms. Because when this team has looked good, they have looked fantastic. When they have looked good, you could see them pulling off four wins in a row. They're not there yet. I don't know. You know, they're still learning how to hold on to a lead. And I think that she is playing a long game with them. But I'm not worried about them becoming complacent just yet, because I think that there's still a long way to go. I'm telling you what, man, I'm not playing Jay Howell in a game of, I don't know, what's in, like, Jax, Yahtzee, anything like that.
Jax.
Yeah, that's a poor game. Oh, sorry.
Like, is this like 1930s? Like,
like, hey, playground? Jay, let's play a
let's
game of Jack.
Play marbles.
Oh, man.
No, and I mean, I also just like want to throw out that, like, if I'm sounding really critical and, like, way more critical than I have in past years, it's because I think this is so much of a better team than it is in past years. I think that this is a much better team. I think this is a much better coaching staff. And, like, my expectations are just that much higher than they've ever been. You know, in the past, I felt the need to be like, well, they're doing the best they can. I don't feel that I need to do that anymore. I feel like this is a bigger, tougher team that, you know, can do a bigger, tougher job. And so I don't know. I don't mean to sound harsher. It's just like, you know, again, when you, like, go up to a tougher grade, you know, like if you go into the AP class versus, like, the regular class in high school, like, you're going to be graded harder. So I'm grading them harder. I'm not grading them on a curve anymore, because I know this is a good team. I know this is an incredibly talented team with an incredible amount of potential, and I know that we have an incredible coaching staff. I believe in them so much, that is why I probably sound harsher and more critical.
Now, how about this possibility, though? Maybe this club has been waiting to get their first win because they want Bev's first win as a manager to be followed by a giant fireworks show.
Wow.
If they held off on points for that, then I would actually be very disappointed, but it would be pretty spectacular.
It would because this coming weekend against the Bootah Royals, you've got a home game against a home game for Racing, followed by Thunder over Louisville. Now, Caitlin, you are our resident hometown Louisvillian. For those folks that may be like Thunder over Louisville, what's that? Can you give a description?
Thunder over Louisville is a gigantic fireworks and air show display, and it's down by the waterfront. It gets very, very, very crowded down there. It's free, so everybody from across the city comes and just hangs out all day. To me personally, I don't make it a point to go all the time, if hardly ever. Because I feel like I've gone, if you go once, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if fireworks are your thing, cool, it's fun. I'm take or leave fireworks, but
But now there's a racing game
now there's a
during it.
racing game. So there's not an excuse, right? You have at this game, the cool thing about this game is that you get admission to the stadium, you get parking and all that, and you have come and go privileges. So you can watch the game, leave, go walk down by the waterfront, do whatever you want for a little bit, come back to the stadium, and that's the thing, that if you just go down to the waterfront, usually you don't have, like, honestly, nobody likes porta potties, right?
No.
This is the biggest thing to me, as like a person who goes to like music festivals or anything like that. It's like, I want air conditioning and I want like some real bathrooms. Well, you got both of those at Lynn Family Stadium. So go watch a soccer game, then stay for some
Watch
fireworks.
and watch Top Gun
And
2
yeah, and
on the
watch
big
Top Gun.
screen.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, overall, basically, this is going to be a good time, even if like Thunder is not usually your thing, because there is a racing game bundled up with it. And yeah, it's going to be a blast. Pun intended.
I've never, ha 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 ha. I've never bothered to go to Thunder because I've never liked the idea of being trapped in the waterfront with porta potties
Yeah.
in a giant crowd of people. So the fact that I can watch the air show and everything while the game is going on is a little overwhelming too, but in a good way. So I'm actually really excited for this game, and I hope it has really good attendance. And so I have to ask both of you, what do you think Racing needs to do to get a win out of this match? What did you see in this match or any of the last ones? And you're like, okay, they did this right. They need to change this. Maybe they need to do this a little more. What do you think will be the key to success against Utah?
I think against Utah, we need to hold possession. I would love to see us hit that 50% threshold of possession. Go above and beyond that, even. Hold possession more, show some patience with the possession, and build on this game that we just had. I mean, they're so close. They're so close. And I think it's just continuing to do what they know how to do, control the controllable, which Bev always likes to say that's their effort, right? Their effort is the one thing that they as a team can control. And I thought last night they gave maximum effort at that game. So if they can bring that against Utah, stay organized at the back, stay patient in the midfield and the attack, I think we should be looking at our first win.
Utah is shooting less than Racing. They have not had a clean sheet yet. Racing is outscoring them. I mean, 4-3 goals, so like not hugely, but we're still outscoring them. And so I do think that this is a winnable game. This, especially if we have a good home crowd, we have a big event going on, a loud, boisterous crowd to egg the team on. I really think that this really should be the first 3-point match for racing, and it's going to be hard for for Utah to beat racing in the atmosphere that I think we'll have.
I'm with you. I mean, I think that even though this team is new, and I think we should consider it like it's its own thing, every year racing has improved a line. One year they improved the midfield. One year they improved the back line. This year their attack is better. The last improvement they need to make is between the ears, is to decide and will themselves to victory when they should win. And I think at some point, they're just going to get sick of draws, and they're going to get a lead, and they're just going to think about a draw, and they're going to get sick of it. And I think that I think Utah is as good a time as any to pull the win. Here is my thought. When two or three times in this last match, Racing has gotten the ball at the top of the box, and Jay Howell has had that ball, and she has looked for her attackers. And she's looked around and made a pass. And everyone knows that she's not turning around to shoot. You know what, Jay Howell? Time to turn around and shoot. Turn around, open your hips up, let one go into the corner. That'll open everything out. That's what I'm pulling for. I think Racing wins if Jay gets a goal.
I sure hope so.
No, I was just going to say, I hope we see Raylan get her first.
Oh, I'd love that too.
Her first goal.
Let's everybody get a goal. Let's go.
Goal for everyone.
Goal for everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Flint, get a goal. Abby, get a goal. Katie Lund, get a goal. I mean, she can just belt it from midfield. Get a goal. Why not? Why not?
Now that would be, if Katie gets a goal, the club is going to have to shut down. It's like, all right, we're done. Katie got her goal. So, unless it's something like we're up 4-0.
She started with a goal.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. So,
I mean, she wouldn't be our starter with that performance in the women's cup.
Oh my gosh, how can I forget about that? That was cool. That was cool. Also cool, Caitlin Whiteside with the Mint Mix. What are we contributing to the Mint Mix this week, Caitlin?
This week, the Mint Mix it's a good mix of good times, but also desperation. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but the first song that I have for the mix is Wait For It from the Hamilton soundtrack. If anyone hasn't seen Hamilton, you haven't? Okay.
No.
It's a lot to explain, but basically...
you don't have to.
Go listen to the song, Becky. It's just about waiting for your moment and just looking around and being like, well, why not me? You know, it's my time to shine. Why do they have it so easy? Why is all the pressure on me? And I just feel like Racing kind of feels like that right now. That's the first song. The second song is Everything I Own by a band from the 70s called Bread.
I know Bread. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
And I know Bread, but not Hamilton.
And I do. I am going to tell myself here because I believe in full transparency. I only know this song because it was on the very first NSYNC album that I had as a child. NSYNC covered it. So maybe that's where you all have heard it.
Definitely not.
Not you all. Not you two, but like other millennials.
Not the old people.
No. That's where people
not
my
the
age and younger maybe have heard it.
The youths.
Yes. I don't consider myself a youth. What? Okay. Anyway, but
the expression that Tom and I both just gave Caitlin.
No,
that song's on there because I, after the game, I texted both of you. I said, what would you guys personally sacrifice for Racing to get a win right now? And, you know, at this point, this song is, you know, Everything I Own. We really want this right now, guys. Just give this to us. And last, this is the fun part. Not desperation anymore. I have a song by one Jack Harlow, because guess who we finally got to a Racing game, everybody? Jack Harlow. I mean, huge, big stuff. He's at the Lou City games all the time. I think I asked a few weeks ago, what do we have to do to get Jack Harlow to a racing game? And it's apparently just put that out into the void on our podcast and
allow him to bring his little dog.
Yes. I wondered, dogs are not usually allowed, but they're allowed for Jack Harlow.
If you're Jack Harlow.
So
that's right.
That's right. So yeah, I have Nail Tech by Jack Harlow to finish out the mint mix this week. Hopefully we'll see him at a lot of future racing games. And that was actually a good game for him to see, I thought.
That was. He also provided us with great reaction shots.
Yeah.
Because there were like a lot of him just like looking befuddled and everything. Yeah. And then did you see Kaylin Sheridan posted the shot of him going like, oh my God, after she made the save and played his song over it on her. Yeah. That's
well played. Well played.
Yeah, well played. That's why you're one of the top keepers in the league.
One last thing. I appreciated the if you watch Gilmore Girls, there are a lot of Luke Danes jokes about Jack's outfit. There's a character on Gilmore Girls who wears a backwards hat and flannel. That's exactly what Jack was wearing last night. So I did appreciate those. Good job, WOSO Twitter.
Every now and then, WOSO Twitter is hilarious and not mean. And that's why we stick around. Coming up, so racing, coming off another draw, just on the cusp of a win. We'd like to thank those folks that have sent a few bucks our way through Buy Me a Coffee. Always appreciate any support for the Butchertown Rundown podcast. Looking forward to seeing everybody at Lynn Family Stadium against the Butah Royals for Thunder. Becky, Caitlin, is that about everything?
I think that's everything. Hey, Tom, this was fun. We should do it again.
This was fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it.